This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, a golden oldie, right? 248-539-9797, the second part of Mock Draft 2.0 will take place at approximately 3:45, approximately. Okay, later on this hour. All right. Tonight, the NBA play-in games start tonight.
Yeah.
Nothing says basketball in the play-in game like the Atlanta Hawks being involved.
True, and I'm just glad that our Detroit Pistons not involved.
Yes.
They made the cut.
Time to rest.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Now, we mentioned this yesterday, briefly, that Piston tickets, they went on sale on Sunday to the general public. And word came out that the tickets, the Pistons were limiting ticket purchases to exclude area codes and zip codes, basically, that were not in the Michigan, suburban Ohio, and certain parts of Indiana regions and Ontario. And there are a lot of reasons for this, and we can argue which ones are the correct ones and which ones aren't, but it's happened before. I mean, I remember back, you know, the Wings played Tampa in the playoffs, and this happens all over the country. You want your arena to be filled with your fans, not fans of the other team. And in this age of where you don't have to be in person to purchase tickets, anybody with a computer can buy the tickets, whether you're a fan of that team or not. If you're a fan of, let's say, the Knicks in this instance, you know, you're living in New York, you know, what the heck, you know, I'll make that drive because I can't get tickets. Tickets to the Garden are too freaking expensive. It's probably cheaper to fly from New York to Detroit, go to the game, than it is for a ticket in New York if it's a good seat, okay? So you have that going on, and you want to keep – I understand that. Then there's the other thought where you want to keep away the illegal – ticket brokers who, you know, it's capitalist.
Jack up the price of the tickets.
Capitalist society, you know, supply and demand, whatever they are. They'll put them on, you know, SeatGeek, StubHub, whatever. I get it. But our very own Jim Costa tweeted out today, if an NFL team tried to limit Lions fans from taking over, we'd call that weak. When the Wings played Tampa in the playoffs and the Lightning did this, we called them weak. When the Pistons do, it's weak. If you believe your fan base shows up, you don't do this. Now, I agree with Mr. Costa that, you know, what Tampa did was weak, and sometimes what the Lions opponents might do would be weak. But the reason I don't think the Pistons need to do this, but I disagree with his premise of why it's being done when he says, if you believe your fan base shows up, you don't do this.
Yeah.
I believe that the Piston fan base is going to show up. I don't think that's the issue.
Then what's the issue?
The issue is you don't want other people to click faster than your fans. That's all it is. So you want to make sure that your fans have the easiest access to the tickets. That's all it is, in my mind.
I
don't think you're worried about, oh, my God, we're not going to sell out. We, you know, we're not going to, you know, be 90% full or whatever. I mean.
No, I disagree.
Okay.
I think this is because you don't know if your fans are going to show up and sell the place out, because if it was, it's a moot point because, hey, even if the ticket brokers get to it first, you're still going to pay the money to go to the game. You know how I know? You know how much money Lions fans have spent every year in the last couple years? Because when the Lions do this, God, I can't believe you guys are making me defend Jim Costa. First of all, I feel a little dirty. But the Lions do it every game, every away game. It's the Lions takeover. They have parties in other places. They go and they take over about 30 to 40% of the stadium, depending on what city you go to. It's a thing. It's not just one game, Stoney. It's all of them. They buy up all the seats. Why? Because they can.
But most of those tickets are being bought from
ticket brokers.
Secondary markets.
Right.
Exactly.
So
this is the same thing. There's many ticket brokers who live in 313-734-2248.
But here's the thing. Lions have tried. You know why they couldn't do it? They couldn't do it when they went to Baltimore. They couldn't do it. Take over. Why? Because the Ravens fans are like, nah, bruh.
Right.
We buy our seats and we go to our game.
Right.
And we're not selling
the
to anybody.
Same thing would happen in Philly and a lot of other places, too.
I think that if you knew that your fans were going to show up, you don't do this. Because I hate to say it, Costa's right. If somebody else did this geofencing, for the Lions fans, we would be on here saying, oh, what you afraid of? What you afraid of? Why won't you sell the tickets? Why? Because you know you're not going to sell it out and the opposing team will come in here and take it over. If you knew your people show up no matter what, you're not doing
this.
Let
me ask you
this
a question.
This does look weak.
Okay, you're 49ers. The Lions had tons of fans at the 49ers game this year, okay? Now, And they didn't get them.
They had some at the championship game.
Okay, but they got them through either brokers
right.
or 49er fans who, you know what, our team sucks this year. It's a holiday. I'm going to sell them, try to make some money back. They don't care who they're selling them to.
Right.
They just put them up there.
So maybe that's Pistons fans who has tickets, and they just said, you know
right,
what?
Maybe.
If Knicks fans want to buy these seats
right.
from me, you can have them.
Exactly. So once they go on StubHub, SeatGeek, whatever, the Pistons can't control that. The Pistons can only control basically their own website and Ticketmaster. Pistons cannot control the secondary market.
I understand, but to have put up the geofence, in my opinion, is not needed because you should rely on your fans to just show up and do the right thing and not say we're going to make it difficult for this other city.
I don't think it's needed either. But I don't think it's – they're doing it because they want LCA packed with Piston fans. They don't – that's the reason. It has nothing to do with the other thing. The Pistons fan base is weak? No.
No, I didn't say that they're weak.
But I'm reading the tweet. When you do, it's weak. If you believe your fan base shows up, you don't do this.
And this is
I believe they're going to show up now.
And this is what I got to agree with them.
I think they're going to show up now. If the Pistons really – wanted to make sure their fans would show up. The upper bowl behind the basket tickets wouldn't be $139, $150 face value. That's another issue. That to me is a bigger issue.
If you know your fans are going to show up, you don't need this. You just say, okay, tickets are there. And if Knicks fans want to buy them, fine. But you know what? You're going to be out cheered by all of the red, white, and blue.
The Knicks fans are going to buy the tickets no matter what. They'll pay over. They'll go to the StubHubs and the SeatGeeks.
Just it for a city that takes pride in taking over other stadiums and arenas to do it here, it does look weak.
I agree, it looks weak. I just think that the reasons they do it are we disagree on the reason, the rationale.
You're
that's
still
all.
Doing it though.
Yeah,
don't do it.
I agree.
Don't do it.
That
and
part
just
of-
let your fans show up and represent. And if some
that
Knicks
part
fans,
I agree with you.
And if some Knicks fans want to buy tickets, God bless you.
I told you yesterday.
You know what it is?
There were a lot of New York fans at the game the other night when they were here.
Hey, enjoy the loss and go back to New York, okay? Yeah, you got to witness it in person. That's how I see it.
And by the way, if you don't want to spend more than $150 a ticket, there are upper bowl seats available, plenty, on Ticketmaster without going through the secondary market.
I mean, I just... I got to defend Costa on this one. He's right.
248-539-9797. 248-539-9797. Pistons have put a geofence up as far as ticket purchase for home playoff games. Do you consider that weak? In other words, if you don't live in Michigan or certain counties in Ohio or Indiana or in Southern Ontario, Windsor area, you're S out of luck through the Ticketmaster or Pistons websites as far as purchasing tickets, then you are forced to go to the secondary market. And, you know, Bob, Jim Costa called it weak. I think it's weak, too. We disagree about why it's being done. I think it's being done to, A, keep them out of scalpers, and, B, you want your own fans there. It's not that you're worried that you're not going to have a strong enough fan base to show up. If, like, nobody from the opponent even purchased a ticket, they would sell out anyway, I believe. Although, right now, well, we're still over a week away. That especially if the Pistons win one game in this series in New York, those tickets will be gobbled up, I believe. So 248-539-9797. Rico is on the Costa side as well, with calling it weak, but he believes it's the reason that Jim Costa says.
I mean, this is a city that prides itself on supporting their team at home and on the road. If you can do it, then you know what? Buy up all the seats and make sure that somebody else does not do it to you. You don't need artificial geofencing to make it harder for other people to get in. Just buy up the seats. You buy up the seats. You don't sell them on the secondary market. And you show up to the games. Plain and simple. This, in my opinion, not needed.
248-539-9797.
Yeah, but for the people, do you think that this, I think it's weak. I really, really do. David, Kenny?
I think it is weak to a degree, but I've been to LCA for a Pistons game this season on like a Wednesday, and there were droves of Pistons fans just showing up on a random weekday basketball game. I don't think there's any need to be concerned that somehow Pistons fans aren't going to buy these seats. They've been waiting for this for a long time, and I do think that Detroit prides itself in showing out in big events like this. I wouldn't worry about it in the slightest.
Then why?
I agree. I'm with you.
Why set it up? Because once you put it out there, it's the perception. Now, maybe the Pistons see it a different way, but once you do this, and Lord knows I don't agree with Costa that often, but for this one, I got to stand by Jim.
Doing it this way, I believe, gives you and your fan base the first dibs on all the tickets. That's what it does. It prevents the market to raising the prices because those ticket brokers from New York won't be getting them and raising those secondary market tickets. And now Pistons fans have the first access to these tickets and they will buy them up. I don't see this fan base having any problem selling out LCA. They will buy the tickets. And it would allow them to get them first is what this is doing.
Maybe, look, I don't think that the Lions did this. I don't think that the Tigers did this.
The NFL's king, and they also have a wait list.
Yeah,
for the Lions.
Yeah,
so they're never going to have a problem doing and selling tickets. This is a smaller arena, and I think it allows that fan base to get them first.
Yeah. Great point, David.
I just think that, you know what? It's unnecessary. Your fans will show up. Why? Because this team hasn't been in the playoffs in forever. So they should be clamoring and buying up. The second the playoff tickets became available, should have been sold out.
Yeah, but if you don't geofence, you have no idea who's buying the tickets.
It should have been your fans because they were anxious.
They might have been, but if you open it up to everybody, it could be some, you know, person in, you know, Bismarck, North Dakota who buys a pair of playoff tickets and puts them on StubHub.
But maybe that person in Bismarck, North Dakota is a Pistons fan.
And I also say this. I think they've actually probably sold out. I really do. It's hard to announce it now when you don't know if the game is going to be on Saturday or if the game is going to be on Sunday. And I think they're waiting for that. I got a couple tickets here
Saturday. That's true, but it's not sold out because I went on when you go
it's
on
not yet.
When you go on Ticketmaster, there are, like I said, the upper bowl seats are like 100.
Oh, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. They would be next week, not Saturday and Sunday. It's in New York on Saturday.
So $150 or whatever they are upstairs, there are plenty of tickets available. Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, if you want to spend that much money to sit in nosebleeds where, you know, Malik Beasley looks like an ant.
Okay, but, yeah, okay, in all fairness, there is no nosebleeds at LCA. All the seats are pretty good. Even the ones up high.
What are you talking about?
Not the gondola.
Even the ones up high aren't that bad.
Oh, they're so much higher than the Palace used to be.
They're not that bad, Rico. You're right. They're
not that bad.
It's a real angle, but they're not that bad.
I realize that you normally sit courtside.
No, I don't sit courtside.
But for the poor of us, and if you sit up there high enough, it's not that bad of a seat. Sitting up. I've been to places where you're right. It's like, wow, this is high up.
For an indoor arena, that upper bowl is pretty much as high as I've seen, except for the place in L.A. where they have three levels of suites, and then the upper bowl starts. Okay, it's high. It's me.
Now,
it's me because I can watch a hockey game in the last row of LCA, no problem, or a football game in the last row at Ford Field, or even my seats at Michigan Stadium, or in the end zone, like 60th row or whatever. All right, so there's nothing to do. Basketball to me, when you're up high, it just doesn't.
You get to see the. I just don't think that there's a bad. That's the beauty of LCA. There's really not a bad seat in there. Even if you're up in the upper deck, it's still not that bad.
248-539-9797. We have any ticket text, David?
Yeah, someone says, Rico, you're wrong. The difference between Lions and Pistons, there is not a waiting list for the Pistons, so they have to do this to make sure we get them first. Someone else says, are we checking IDs at the gate now? Laughing out loud to Costa. Okay. Anyone with a VPN can get access to the tickets anyway. They aren't stopping many people with the geofencing.
Right. I mean, if you're going to get the tickets, you're going to get the tickets. I just think this is a step you didn't have to do. I mean, if it happens, okay, it happens. But that's on the Pistons fans because you allowed this to happen. It does come across as a little weak.
There's going to be a lot of New York fans there no matter what. There are a lot of New York.
And it's not necessarily for Lions fans here at Ford Field, but you love buying up tickets in other places. You do this, but you need protection at home.
Rico, it's crazy. The second level at LCA is so steep that I almost fell walking up the stairs. It's a joke. It's terrible. That is from Whitmer. It's not a problem for me.
I didn't think it was a problem.
Not a problem for me. Someone else says, you're wrong about the bad seats at LCA. There's literally on both sides, if you're behind the gondola, that you can't see anything on the court.
Well, I mean, at least they give you the gigantic screen so that you can see. Because, I mean, that's a pretty big screen.
It is. It's a huge-ass screen.
So, yeah, if you're missing it, just look right there. And there it, you know what?
But then you get the argument, I might as well spend them. Do I want to spend $135? I could save the money and sit at home and watch it on the screen.
Well, then you got this one. Someone says, the upper bowl at LCA isn't high at all, but the seats are steep, so it feels like you're falling off a cliff, but the view is great.
Okay.
Again, wherever the Bulls play. That,
United Center.
Is it still United Center?
Now that's high up. That place is like, wow. That when they built that was just to get everybody to come and see Jordan, and they just was like stacking seats on. That's high. This, I don't see it that way.
I've never seen a game at United Center. I'm worried my car's going to get stolen.
David, you know, just pay for it. The problem is, it's like out right next to a check cashing
place. I'm joking, people. Yes. It's just a weird area.
It is a weird area.
Like, seriously, it's like. It's like in the middle of the hood. It's like, I guess it's some University of Chicago's around it, but it's like, it's nowhere near downtown. There's literally a check cashing place, store right there. Kenny, you think I'm joking. I'm not.
Isn't there a, what's it called? The Billy Goat Tavern. Isn't there one? There's a branch of that near there, I think.
I don't think so. Stoney, it's just parking lots and nothing.
Because I thought I remember last time I was there, we walked somewhere to have something to eat. I thought it was one of the Billy Goat.
It
places.
May be one across the area.
Yeah, you literally drive through Chicago and you just keep on going and you keep going.
I couldn't believe it when I drove by it. I'm like, this is it?
I will say this.
And there's the United Center.
The Chicago Stadium, where it was the same area, obviously. That was one of the loudest, great venues I've ever been in. I loved that place. It was loud. Hockey, basketball, it was crazy. All right, 97 won the ticket. All right, we took you through the first 18 picks of Mock Draft 2.0. Let's crack up the band. It's time for the rest of the first round. With pick number 19, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock. They need some defensive help where? Maybe everywhere. Levante David's getting up there in age, although sometimes he doesn't show it.
No, he doesn't.
They go for Alabama linebacker Jihad Campbell.
That's a nice pickup.
That is a nice pickup.
That was one that, in your mock draft, Stoney, I was kind of hoping would slide down to the Lions, because I think that would have been a perfect pick for that Lions defense.
Okay, speaking of the Lions, at 20, the Denver Broncos select somebody who allegedly was in town, because Cortland Sutton's really their only wide receiver, so the Broncos select Texas speedy wide receiver Matthew Golden.
That's actually a good pickup for them. I think they would have rather a tight end, but in your draft, both tight ends are gone.
Right.
And I think they probably could pick up another one in the second round. Yeah, top wide receiver's gone, so you got the second Golden. That's actually stunning. That's actually pretty good.
I like it. You're right. The tight ends are gone in your mock already. So would a running back have been a selection there for the Broncos? Just a question.
Yeah, possibly. I'm sure they were thinking about that guy. But next up is David's Pittsburgh Steelers.
Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur Sanders was already picked, don't forget. But Jackson Dart is still available. However, the great Mr. Hayward, his career is winding down. They need help on the defensive line. What would make David happiest would be Michigan defensive lineman Kenneth Grant.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be amazing. Yes, 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 yes.
With the 22nd pick of the first round. Now, you mentioned a team with needs. Well, the Cowboys had the 12th pick, and they traded down to 22, hoping that this person would still be available. So from the L.A. Chargers, the Cowboys, on their trade down, select North Carolina running back Amarian Hampton.
Okay, that makes so much sense, but because it's the Cowboys, I don't see it happening. Because they actually made a smart move, got extra selections, and got the guy that they want.
Yeah.
If anything, Jera is going to trade up and overspend
to get Jonte or something like that.
Yeah. No, and still get Hampton.
Yes.
No, they're still going to get him. They're just going to move up to get him and just sell the farm. So that's the way it makes sense. It's smart. That's not the Cowboy way.
With the 23rd pick in the first round, well, you know Green Bay is not going to select a wide receiver because they don't. Who knows the mental frame of Jaire Alexander, what team he's even going to be on. So the Packers take his replacement, Jody Barron, the cornerback from Texas.
Okay.
Next, some people believe he may be the best corner. It's a debate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a debate last year, and the Eagles got it right.
Yes.
Correct.
Just saying.
Yes.
They got it right twice.
With pick number 24, staying in the NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings only have 4 picks this draft.
So they got to get it right.
And as of now, they'll be playing a quarterback who we have no idea how good he's going to be. He might need help.
I still say, and I know, I'm holding out hope because he has not signed yet.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
That's Aaron Rodgers.
Well, even if it is Aaron Rodgers, he still needs help blocking. What says Minnesota Vikings more than Gray Zabel, guard center from that part of the country, North Dakota State?
That's a perfect pick for the Vikings. Okay. That is a Vikings pick.
Yep. Pick number 25, the Houston Texans. They traded Tunsil. He's a tackle. they're not in love with the tackles that are available. They are in love with a guard who played his college football in that state, Longhorn guard Kelvin Banks.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea what Houston was doing when they sold the farm. Mm-hmm. It's like, you do realize you're good. I mean, I know the NFL makes you play every Saturday in the playoffs, but what you're doing makes no sense whatsoever. I can't figure D'Amico Ryan is like, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm just assuming he's being outvoted in the boardroom.
Better be right.
Right.
Next up, the Rams. A lot of people think the Rams are going to draft a successor to Matthew Stafford there.
Jackson Dart would be on the board for
Dart would be on the board. They're going to go best available player. Matthew Stafford's still not the most mobile human being on the planet, as good as he is. And they're kind of surprised that offensive tackle from Ohio State, Joshua Simmons, is still on the board, and the Rams take him there.
Once again, you can't go wrong drafting big people, especially offensive linemen, because even though it's not a sexy pick and you're not running out to buy their jerseys, it's the stability. I mean, you see it here with Sewell. Like, he is a cornerstone of this team. So that's I no matter who your quarterback is, even if down the line you've already got the line built so that the new quarterback doesn't have to run around and worry for their life the way Caleb Williams had to this year.
At pick number 27, the Baltimore Ravens. Their defense was kind of disappointing this past year. They go nose tackle, defensive tackle, whatever way you want to say it. Walter Nolan from Ole Miss.
That is a Ravens pick right there.
David, good luck, Mason Rudolph. Good luck.
David, to your Steelers. That is such a pick for the Ravens. I like that one.
I hate that one.
With the 28th pick, the Detroit Lions, the phones are ringing.
Did they make the pick?
The phones are ringing.
Okay.
Howie Roseman is at the other end of that line. But Brad Holmes says, you know what? I'm not willing. I like my guy here. I know Howie Roseman loves these guys. But I like him, too. The Detroit Lions select from the University of Georgia, edge Mikel Williams.
Oh. Okay.
But is he going to be on the field to go very fast?
Kenny, I'll leave that one to you.
Yeah, it's on again, off again. There's no guarantee. It would be that's a very Brad Holmes pick, though, if you want to look at it like that.
Yeah. Next up, the Washington Commanders. And the Commanders, they need an edge rusher. They select Donovan Isiruaco, however you pronounce his name, from Boston College. Donovan Isiruaco. How's that? Is that better? Isiruaco. How's that? That's probably better than the third one, is the charm. I probably should have taken who I actually omitted in the first round instead. It's easier to pronounce.
Who was that?
You'll see, because he's not going to be taken. And I realize I should have, but I'm not going to go back on it now.
Okay.
With the 30th pick, the Buffalo Bills, they need help in their secondary. And I got to admit, I'm a little biased. From the University of Kentucky and West Bloomfield High School, Maxwell Hairston.
I'm so glad you admitted you're biased.
I admit it.
Well, I don't have to say anything now. You said it.
Hey, he ran a 4.3 or 4.28, whatever the hell he ran at the combine. People have it very.
Yes, he is.
Late first round, early second is what I've seen. So what the heck? I'll give him his flowers.
I'll give you this. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when he ran that 4.3 at the combine, you knew at that point he became that guy who then went into the VIP club of the first round. Buffalo, late first round. All right. Stoney, I'm not going to beat you up over this.
Okay. 31, the Chiefs. Their offensive line just blows. So they go with the best tackle available, Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon.
Okay.
And finally at 32, Howie Roseman is tempted to do something he hasn't done in a while, but he realizes what brought him a Super Bowl. And even though there is a better player, I think, available at a position of need, he can't stop thinking about the red and the black. With the last pick of the first round, the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles select safety from the University of Georgia, Malachi Starks. And yes, Derek Harmon is sitting there. That's
so is that the player that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You also got Pierce. Was Pierce taken in here?
No.
First
no.
Round?
No.
So you got Harmon and you got Pierce.
Sitting there.
Harmon and Pierce, there may be too many issues there.
But the Eagles can handle issues.
I know.
And they lost half of their defensive line.
I know. They also lost their safety. So.
Okay.
And they love Georgia players.
They do love Georgia
players. If Malachi Starks went to Alabama, I would have taken Derek Harmon.
Stoney, it's not bad. I think the Eagles would have probably taken somebody on the defensive line because they lost half of their guys.
Yes.
But you make a valid argument. This isn't not bad, Stoney.
Yeah, hey, it's only a mock draft, and hopefully the teams won't listen to me. 97-1, the ticket. 97-1, the ticket. The telephone number is 248-539-9797. Coming up shortly, a little controversy at the University of Colorado with Coach Prime. That's different. We'll let you know what that is coming up shortly. David, some ticket texts.
If the Steelers take Grant, David will have another baby in 9 months. LOL, that is from Jason.
Okay.
Someone else says, you all were mentioning about the Chicago Stadium. Someone says, cool thing about watching the Blackhawk games from Chicago Stadium on TV was the little steps the players had to climb to get to and from the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen about 15 Red Wing games in the upper bowl. Never once have I had a problem tracking the puck or any player. I don't know what these people are talking about.
Hockey, I believe, is different. I have no problem upper bowl for hockey. Basketball, I always had problems no matter what the arena is. That's just me.
Really?
Yeah. They just look too small for me for some reason. Hockey, because you can see the play develop more. In basketball, it's different because it's a little more compressed, I think. I don't know. Just personal preference. You know, I'm a weird.
You can track the puck, but not the basketball.
I'm a weird guy. What can I tell you? All right. Prime time, Coach Prime, and I know people that actually go to Colorado. Their kids go to Colorado, and you can't even. It's like, you know, what time is it there? And we're not on Mountain Time. We're on Prime Time. That he has taken over the whole school. It's not just the football program. They just love him, and the extension is well deserved because all the money. Forget about the wins and losses. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about, like everything else in this world, it's all about the money, and Colorado made a good investment, and they're making money. Merch, all that kind of stuff. However, Colorado announced that this weekend, at their spring football game, they will be retiring the jersey numbers, number 12 of Heisman Trophy winner Travis Hunter, and his quarterback and good friend, and the son of Deion Sanders, the coach, Shedeur Sanders. Their jerseys will be retired. Now, when you look through the, I wouldn't say great history, but they have some history at Colorado. They have, counting Hunter and Sanders, they have 6 retired jerseys.
Rashan Salaam won.
Rashan Salaam, the late but great Rashan Salaam. My 1 year I had a Heisman Trophy vote. I got it right.
Okay.
Some guy by the name of Joe, looks like Roenig, right?
Joe Roenig.
Yeah, he's a guard. He was played 1959 through 1961. There's the Bobby Anderson, the quarterback running back, who I remember him, played there from 1967 to 1969. Good player, really good. He was had his jersey number 11 retired in 1999, it looks like. 1969. And then there's Byron Whizzer White, the former Supreme Court Justice, right? Halfback of Colorado in the mid-30s. He had his number 24 jersey retired.
Heisman vote for him, too?
No. That might have been pre-Heisman. When was I didn't vote for Berwanger either, you know? That's a good line, though. Okay, here's the deal. those are their retired jerseys, and I like we included Shador and Travis Hunter. What about Cordell Stewart? What about Detroit's own Michael Westbrook?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some others that I'm forgetting off the top of my head.
Here's the thing. I actually agree with half of this.
I think I know which half.
The half that actually won the Heisman.
Yes.
You deserve to have your jersey retired. You have done so. You're in a small fraternity that, yes. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and retire. Shador? No. You're only being retired because you're Deion's kid, and it was probably part of Deion's contract. Then when my son leaves, you must retire his number. I'm sorry. You didn't win the Big 12. You didn't win. You didn't go to playoffs. You didn't win a national title.
He won his ball game, didn't he?
You didn't do anything that said you deserve to have your jersey retire.
I agree with you. And for Hunter, yes.
Hunter
should have his jersey retired. Not now.
No. I can even say you could do it now because he won the Heisman. So it's one of those, I'm okay with that. Because it's like when they retired Caleb Williams. I'm okay with that.
Well, here's what I'll say. Because I was initially on your side, Stoney. Why do this now?
Right.
You could have done this anytime. But looking at this, in the list that you went through, everybody but one player had their jersey retired immediately.
Yeah, that's correct. You're right.
Rashawn Salaam was the only one that didn't have it immediately. He was 2017. Why they waited so long, I have no clue.
When did he die?
I was about to say, was he dead?
It was probably around that time.
Yeah, probably.
But if your tradition with everyone else was the next year, then his jersey should have been retired in 1995.
I'm okay with Hunter. Because Hunter won the Heisman.
Yes. Sanders, yeah. No.
Yeah. And unless he pulls an OJ or Reggie Bush, you get to keep the trophy.
Hunter's a no-brainer.
But yeah, so I'm fine with that. Shador Sanders' jersey should not be retired. Okay? And you guys think I love Shador. No way in the world.
It shouldn't be. You're right.
He didn't do anything special that says, I deserve to have my jersey retired. He didn't lead the NCAA in passing yards. Right. He didn't do anything special.
Right.
So, yes, Salaam died in 2016, okay. So they did it the next year.
Yeah. So if Salaam was still alive, he wouldn't
have. He would have never had
his jersey wouldn't have been retired. He won the Heisman Trophy, and they waited until he was dead before they gave
him. So he never got the actual accomplishment.
Nah. He's like the Pete Rose of Colorado.
I think that this is one where you need to check Deion's contract because I think it was in his contract that if I come to coach this team, my son's jersey will be retired when he's done.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I guess I can look up the stats, but would it be fair to say that Eric Bieniemy had a better career at Colorado than Shador Sanders?
Yes.
Yeah.
You could say that.
You could say that. I look at this. This is all hype, and this is all propaganda, and this is because of who the coach is. This is not because of his play. And I watched the Colorado games.
I know.
Okay?
He's good, but he doesn't. I mean, he's not epic.
Like, seriously, because I would say, okay, Colorado, defend why Shador's jersey. If you can convince me, I don't think they can other than, well, you know, he was fun to watch. Well, a lot of people were fun to watch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he was elusive and, okay, yeah. Well, look at all the comeback victories. That means you were losing in order to have comeback victories. And, okay, and who did you really beat?
I mean, by that measure, I mean, Michigan State should retire Tony Banks. Michigan should retire J.J. McCarthy. I mean, they at least won something.
Yeah. I mean you can make a better case. Once again, J.J., you won the national title. If you said they were going to retire, I can't get mad at that because he did something in college. This isn't what you did in the pros.
No.
It's what you did on that field. Right. I understand. What did Shador do? Maybe I missed that. Maybe I didn't see it. You know what? This is Colorado, and this is the stuff that they do. Travis Hunter.
So I didn't even realize. And your Caleb Williams has his jersey retired at USC?
Yeah, they did it last year.
Yeah, they did it last year.
He came back during the bye week or something.
Well, he played, what, 2 years there?
Yeah. But he got a Heisman. Yeah, if you get a Heisman.
Okay, yeah.
You get to walk away. It's yours. Like, you win the Heisman, you should go ahead and get your jersey retired the very next year.
Well, It could be worse.
Don't wait until you die and then put it in there.
Yeah, it could have been worse. They could have retired Ray Carruth's jersey. 97 won the ticket.